You may be seated. Friends, grace to you and peace from God, who is our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ, our Messiah. Amen. My wife, for those that don't know, my wife, Heidi David Young, is also a pastor, and she preaches oftentimes 3 Sundays a month when I'm preaching here. And she's serving different congregations. Well, this week she's actually down at Trinity Lutheran Church in Stephens City. And as we were talking about the lessons for this Sunday, I was telling her that, you know, we're going to kind of center on the children's part of the message. And you heard Sherry read that for you. And she looked at me and she said, "Oh, so you're too chicken to deal with the hard stuff this week." Well, lest anyone say I'm chicken, I decided, well, you know what? Okay, I'll deal with the hard stuff this week. So I'm going to read for you the hard stuff that you didn't hear yet. And then I will have that be a part of a message that also talks about our children today. But this is the part of the text that you didn't get this week. Now, some Pharisees came to test Jesus, and they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" And they said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And so they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." And then, in the house, the disciples asked Jesus again about this matter. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." Here ends the difficult part of our gospel lesson today. And so as I started reading about this, I started thinking about playing cards. Now, I know that's going to sound weird to you, but let me go with this analogy for a second. See, I used to play cards with all of my family. I played with my grandma Layla. We've played Go Fish for all, every time I saw her, just about, we would play Go Fish. Even as she got, as she was in her hospital room, as she was really sick, we would still play Go Fish. She played with all of us kids, and it was something we really enjoyed. And Go Fish was a game that I could occasionally win with her. My family and I, we played Uno. Y'all play Uno?
Yeah.
Uno, have you ever played Hearts?
Yeah.
Again, these are games that I could occasionally win. In college, I learned how to play spades and the euchre. And those were games that I could win. I was pretty good at that. But there is a certain person, certain people, and card games that I could never win. I met my limit whenever I would play my Grandma Lucille in Canasta. I never beat her. She would just look at me and go, "Oh dear, you lost again." My grandfather, her husband, my granddaddy Reinhardt, he beat me mercilessly in checkers. He's the greatest checkers player of all time. But I never could beat him. So I kind of met my limit. I think about, when do we meet our limits? And what are things that we're really good at? We can do it to a certain level, but then we can't go any higher. And our personal limits is what I started thinking about, because I think that's what our lesson is about today. It's when we are unable to achieve that which we would desire and hope. Our gospel lesson, the discussion of divorce, the discussion of relationship with children, indeed, the conversation about all of our relationships is about our human limitations, and it's on full display. When we read these words from Jesus about divorce, about welcoming children, we recognize that all of our relationships are fraught in some form or fashion with brokenness and frustration. But if we can dare to look beyond, if we can imagine something different, if we can look beyond initial impressions, I believe that our reading today is actually less about our limitations and more about God's response, Jesus' response to our limitations. Now the Pharisees, they come and they ask Jesus about divorce, telling Jesus what he already knows. Jesus already knows all this, what Moses had said and that Moses had allowed for divorce. And by asking this question of Jesus, what the Pharisees are trying to do is they're trying to put Jesus in a no-win situation so that they can trap him and then they can put it out on Twitter or they can put it on Facebook or see if one of the news organizations will pick it up. So they can say, look, see, look, Jesus caught. You know, the little crying at the bottom, Jesus caught in a lie. Or Jesus caught questioning Moses, you know? That's what they're trying to do. You see, if Jesus says that it's okay for a man to write a certificate of divorce, like Moses taught, then what he's doing is he is condoning that social system. A social system where women and others are marginalized. And this was not something that Jesus was teaching about. This was not something that he was saying, something that Jesus was espousing. So they could catch him. They could catch him there. But see, on the other hand, if Jesus says that it's not okay for a man to divorce his wife, well then he comes into question for disavowing tradition, accepted doctrine, cultural understanding, and long-time teaching of the law. See, they wanted to catch him and get him. But Jesus doesn't take the bait. In fact, he does what he often does. He changes the question. He says to them, because of your hardness of heart, Moses wrote this commandment for you. In effect, Jesus is saying that human limitation, that the hardness of heart allows for such a teaching to exist. Divorce, I think we all would agree. If you've experienced it yourself or people that you love have gone through that, divorce, regardless of the situation, is painful. It's heartbreaking. It causes suffering for all involved. Still, because of human limitation, there are all manner of reasons. There's all manner of reasons, both respectable ones, understandable ones, if not questionable ones, that keep us in these kind of relationships from keeping our vows or our promises and our commitments to each other. But see, notice what Jesus does. Jesus chooses not to focus solely on our human limitations. Instead, he moves the conversation from human limitation to divine intention. See, what he says is, God made them male and female, and the two shall become one flesh. What God has joined together, let no one separate. Here, what Jesus said is that God's intention always is for our relationships to last, to build, to grow, to sustain us. That's God's intention for all of us. He is reminding us that we have been created for meaningful relationship and community. Is that not what Genesis is all about? That's God's hope for us. And then, in the midst of saying this, Jesus gets really provocative. He says, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. Now, the provocative nature of this statement is this. When he says, if she divorces her husband, by saying this, Jesus is giving a greater right to women than they enjoyed in that society or which they were allowed to have. In this one statement, Jesus is leveling the balance of power between men and women, and I, for one, think it is rather remarkable that our Lord was doing this 2,000 years ago. You see, Jesus does not sell out God's intention. He doesn't sell out saying that, you know, whatever, do whatever you want, you know, to each their own. But he says, my intention for all relationships is that they are solid and meaningful and blessed. Yet, amidst our brokenness, when they fail, our God can bring something new from it. That is Jesus' intention for us all. And if that wasn't enough, If this provocative statement was not enough, what he does next is a big exclamation point. In the midst of this conversation, he sees a child, and he brings them close. The child's being shooed away by the disciples, but he embraces them, and he says, "Let the children come to me, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Whoever does not receive the kingdom as a little child will not enter it." Here, Jesus is imagining a different world, a kingdom of God that is not limited. The need of adults, the needs of adults at the expense of children, Jesus says, is not a part of his kingdom. And he brings it back to the intention of what the world that follows Jesus looks like. In welcoming children, who are one of the least valued segments of society, Jesus literally shows that receiving and blessing the least, those with significant limitations, is exactly what the kingdom of God is all about. The kingdom of God, Jesus is saying to us today, moves beyond our limitations and invites all of creation in a new and radical experience of equality and need, where women are as valued as men, where children are as valued as adults, and where our neighbor is as valued as ourselves. The truth is, friends, that our reading today, the gospel, is not really about divorce or welcoming children, because it is really not about us. It's not about our limitations. This reading is about God. It's about the God who is limitless and God's ability and willingness to love us in spite of our own limitations. This reading is about the God who calls people together for life-giving relationships, whether they be married couples, families, friends, or congregation. This reading is about the God who cherishes the little ones, who cherishes the least of these, the poor, the outcast, the infirm, the mentally ill, and desires that we be a church that invites all and welcomes relationships with all people, regardless of their station or status in life. You see, our gospel today is not about us. It's not about our limits. It's not about our failures. It's not about our sin. It's not about our broken relationships. It's not about our failure to love each other, our messiness, our makeshift idols of power, glory, and control. It's not about our backsliding, our arrogance, our failed parenting, or our wobbling faith. No, our reading today is not about our limitations. It's about the limitless love and grace of God. A limitless love that took on our limitations. And if I may use another analogy from playing cards, where on the cross, God went all in on Friday and played the greatest trump card ever on Easter Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray.